What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
AKA Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson, yeah.
That mustache is incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
You normally are the one with the long hair, and I usually have short hair.
I know.
And mine's growing all out here. And
I know you just get Sarah on it.
No, I'm growing it out.
Yeah, I got a fresh cut today, so feels
very good. Very nice. Yeah, nice and light.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough about your looks. So last week we wrapped up our March musicals. We are now back into our regularly scheduled programming for a month, I think. And then I think in April or in May, we have something else coming up. But so I got to pick this week's movie, and we are going to be talking about A Tale of Two Sisters from 2003.
Yes.
This is the first watch for both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's quite the fucking movie. We're going to have a weird discussion, I think.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely one of those movies that you got to watch a few times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But before we talk about that, what have you been up to this week?
So this week, watched, I guess, quite a bit. Where did we last leave off? Oh, yeah. So for non-horror, I watched a movie called Coda, which won Best Picture. And it was really good. I fucking loved it a lot. It was funny, sad. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Nice.
Then we threw on Office Space because I had inventory last week, and I felt like I needed to watch that to get me in the mood, and I fucking love that movie.
So good.
And then I watched The French Dispatch. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
You said in the chat that you've never heard of it before. Paul Anderson, or no, Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he was all right. And then for horror, I watched Motel Hell for the first time. I liked it. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more like a comedy, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But I do got to say, like, the victims that were in, like, the ground, the sound they made was so disturbing. I did not like it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking creepy.
Yeah, you got the steelbook of that, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it's sick.
I watched Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. That was the first watch for me, and it was awful. I hated it. It was so bad. Like, not even because it was, like, cheesy, is just like, I don't know, I just didn't like how it wasn't like really Jason, but it was Jason, and mm-hmm. I don't know, I didn't like it.
Are you going through the whole franchise?
Slowly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watched a movie called Moonfall.
Oh yeah.
Which is a new disaster movie, and I really liked it. It has really bad reviews, but I had a great time with it.
Yeah.
I also watched A Vampire's Kit, or Vampire's Kiss, Nick Cage movie. I
thought you were going to say Vampire's Kitten or something. No. Just the way that you start that off.
It was like so bad, it's good. Like, Nick Cage just goes nuts in it. It's hilarious.
That's the whole meme.
Exactly, that I sent you in Snapchat.
Yeah.
Second last movie, I watched a movie on Shudder called Night's End.
Oh yeah.
Was terrible. It was so bad. I do not recommend it. Like, the start of it was okay, but then by the ending I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, ridiculous. And then finally, I think I have a new crush.
Oh. Victor Crowley.
No. It's a female, Linnea Quigley.
Oh fuck!
The Return of the Living Dead.
Nice.
And my God, that movie was awesome. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, the movie kicks ass. But that's pretty much it.
Awesome. You watched a hell of a lot more than I did this week.
What'd you watch this week?
I think I had started Hellraiser 7, which is called Hellraiser Deader, which is the dumbest fucking title of any movie I think I've ever watched. But anyways, I finished it this week. So far, I think I have it as my second worst one.
Okay.
Nope, it's my worst one. Yeah, it was fucking shit. I do not recommend watching it unless you're torturing yourself like I am and going through the whole franchise.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not good at all.
Is that the last one?
No, this is number 7. There's still 3 more that I have to watch.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So I'm halfway through Hellraiser Hellworld, which is the 8th one. And that's the one it's like it's all a video game. I remember really liking it when I was younger, but it's no good either. They just keep getting worse and worse.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the Leprechaun series that I went through.
Yeah.
Like the second last one, the remake, not the remake, but the WWE one that they did.
Yeah.
Was like so bad. And then the one from like 2019 or 2018 was actually like pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I logged onto my VPN and started browsing through the American Shudder because they have way better selection than we do on our Shudder.
Yeah.
And I found a movie called Eaten Alive, which is from 1976. It's Toby Hooper's follow-up to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, that's why it sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I got through half of it, and then it was getting late or something like that, so I shut it off. Next day, I'm checking on my phone for different movies that are on like Canadian Shudder, and all of a sudden Eaten Alive is on the Canadian Shudder now.
Oh, really?
So I finished it. It's a pretty fun movie. It's not nearly as good as Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it's a decent follow-up.
Okay.
I recommend checking it out. And Marilyn Burns is in it as well, so which I thought was pretty cool. And I'm 3 episodes deep into Human Resources, which is the Big Mouth spinoff.
Right. Yeah. How is it?
Oh man, it's so good. It's just
what's his name? Wolverine in it? Hugh Jackman?
I'm pretty sure I
saw like TikTok or something that he's in it. He plays one of the characters.
I'm going to check that right now. If he does, I haven't recognized his voice. Randall Park's in it.
Oh, yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Oh, he is in it. Oh, wow, okay. I do recognize his voice now.
Is it an Australian accent in the show?
No, I don't think so. I think I do recognize his voice. But, yeah, it's really fucking good. I definitely recommend checking it out. It's just as good as Big Mouth, but it's only the monsters. But they introduce so many different types of monsters now. Like it's not just the hormone monsters and like the shame monsters. Like there's so many different ones.
So is it like in the same universe then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you don't see any of the characters from Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Like you see like all the monsters that are in Big Mouth are in this, but none of the humans are in it.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely really good. Definitely check it out. Yep. And other than that, that's been it, man. I don't know where my week's gone. I don't know what I did all fucking week. Nice. Played a lot of Apex.
Yeah. Played some Resident Evil.
Played some Resident Evil Bioshock. Yeah. Streamed that for a little bit. Yeah. That was a piss off, man. I was so mad that night. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's been it. Pretty boring week.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, ready to hop into this movie?
Yes, sir.
Start the theme music and let's go. All right, like we said in the intro this week, we're talking about A Tale of Two Sisters from 2003. Before we hop into it, what are you drinking this week, bro?
So I am drinking a new beer company I've never tried before.
Okay.
It is a McKinnon Brothers Brewing Company Crosscut Canadian Ale.
Okay. I think it's like Nathan McKinnon.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Kind of like a pumpkin-y taste.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was waiting for your reaction because we've never had it before. I'm drinking a Thousand Islands Brewing Company hard cherry soda.
Nice. I don't think they have those up in Ottawa.
No, I think you have to get it right from the brewery.
Oh, do you? Okay. So it's not an any LCBO or anything like that?
No, no. They have a little store connected to the brewery and you have to.
Yeah. There's a few breweries that do that. Well, actually, most of them do that.
Yeah. I don't really like that one, but it's literally the only alcohol that I have in my fridge. So I just grabbed it.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I better drop your birthday present off then.
Oh, shit.
I'll probably do it this weekend if you guys aren't busy.
Yeah, I think we'll be home. We usually are at least one of the 2 days. All right. Excuse me. Starting off the synopsis. Oh, my God. A family is haunted by the tragedies of deaths within the family. Short and sweet. To the point.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline spoiler.
I was just going to say, because I don't think I read the synopsis before watching the movie.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll get into it, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely a big spoiler.
Yeah. I think. Kind of gives away a little bit of the twist.
Yeah.
This was directed by Ji-Woon Kim, who we have talked about once before.
Yep.
He directed I Saw the Devil, which we did last year at some point. I don't remember when.
A long time ago.
Was it a long time ago?
I feel like it because I've watched it another time since then. And I watched it last year.
Yeah. Shit. I really like that movie, though.
Yeah.
He also did The Good, the Bad, the Weird, The Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he has a show called Dr. Brain.
Oh.
I was looking to see if he had any upcoming projects. And I didn't see any. I don't know if you saw any or not.
No, I didn't see anything.
But I think he's a good director, man. Like, I haven't watched any of his other stuff other than these two movies. Well, in The Last Stand, which was okay. But
yeah.
But like his horror or like thriller movies are good, I think.
Yeah, we did. I Saw the Devil March 1st.
Last year?
Yeah.
So a year ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Just over. Very nice. The cast list, I just went through their names. I didn't write down any of the stuff that they've been in because it's all unrecognizable.
Yeah, I went through like the first like four people except for the dad. And yeah, I didn't recognize anything.
No. Starting off, we have Lim Soo Young, who plays Sumi, who is one of the sisters. And then we have Young Ah Yum, who plays the stepmother. Kim Kap-soo, who plays the father. And then Moon Jian Young, who plays, I forgot to write her name down, Soo Yun.
Yeah.
I think her name was. Yeah. Soo Yun. Yeah. And that's all I have for the cast list. It was a pretty bare bones cast list as it was. And like,
it was, yeah.
Given the fact that they're all just like straight Korean actors, like, I don't think they really had many movies that we would recognize. But yeah, that's it. Very short on the cast list. I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to add or.
No, because after like the first four people, the rest of the people don't even have like pictures up.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess we'll quickly hop into this movie discussion.
All right. Yeah, like I was telling you before, like when I was like typing my notes, like going like kind of scene by scene and like popping in the questions like that. And I was like typing up my notes on my laptop and I didn't even write down like any descriptions of the scenes. I just have like talking points and like questions about stuff I have. Cause at first, like this movie, nothing really happens at all. Like it's not really too confusing, but then like as stuff starts revealing itself, it kind of gets a bit like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel with the first half of the movie?
The first half I was very bored with.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was bored with it, because they do add in some good scares and like creepy stuff, but there's not much happening for sure.
Yeah, I shouldn't say bored, but I was losing interest in the in-between parts. Like you said, like, there was some like some suspenseful parts, and like we have a little bit of a scare at one point, but as a whole, the first half I found it kind of drag on. Mm-hmm. And the movie's almost 2 hours long, so the first half of it's like basically a full hour. But yeah, I was starting to lose interest, and I watched the first half of it twice because I had planned on watching the whole movie twice because it was a first time watch, but
yeah,
I never ended up getting around to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found it very, very slow. Wasn't really exactly what I was expecting.
Right.
The whole movie is not anything of what I was expecting.
No. Yeah, especially once it hits you with that first twist. And
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know about you, like, did you have any inkling, like your first watch?
There was some scenes where I thought Sumi was actually like the bad guy.
Okay.
Quote unquote. Because like there's one scene where she's with her sister, Su-yeon, mm-hmm. and she's like, Su-yeon has like bruises on her arms and shit. And Su-mi is accusing the stepmother of doing it.
Yeah.
And she's like screaming at her sister. She's like, tell me. And like screeching in her face. And I was like, damn, like the way that you're grabbing on to her, like you could have been giving her the fucking bruises. And like, she just like, I found like she had these like random mental breaks where she would just like lose her shit.
Yeah. That just made me think of something. So like this episode is going to be like all over the place, because you're not going to have like any scene by scene, but so we find out that like, this is kind of confusing me, like Su-mi, she is the stepmother, I think.
No, Su-mi is the one sister.
No, but because she like turns into the stepmom, right?
What?
Because it's revealed that she's like the stepmom, right?
No.
Because at the end, whenever she's sitting there, and then the stepmom like walks in the room with like the suit on, and then she like looks at her, and then that's when you realize that, like, that's what I got, that Su-mi was the stepmom the whole time. Because whenever she's like, she has a statue above the above Su-mi, but the killer, and like it, and whenever it has like the, whenever Su-mi is seen, the duffel bag with the body get dragged, and you see her banging it,
mm-hmm.
and then it reveals that Su-mi actually put some fake doll into the duffel bag, and the dad finds it stuffed in the closet.
The way that I got it,
and in the scene whenever the stepmom finds the dead bird in Su-yeon's bed, and that scene when she's like, tell me who did it, like this scene when you just said like that's what Su-mi did to her, was that like actually what happened between those two?
No, I don't think Su-mi is the stepmother. I think what they're implying is that this whole movie has been Su-mi conjuring up this manifestation of the way that she views her stepmother, mm-hmm. and that like she was really bad to Su-yeon and all this shit.
Yeah.
But then we find out in the twist later on that that's not the case. I don't want to give the twist away right now. We're like 2 minutes into the discussion, but they like, it's only been Su-mi and her father in the house the whole time. But I think she's still in the mental hospital.
Who is?
Su-mi. I'm just looking again.
Because that is one thing I looked up. It was like 10 things you didn't know about this movie. And one of them was that the director left that opening scene like open-ended, like ambiguous, and didn't really tell you what that scene was. Like, he doesn't say if that is Su-mi after the mom dies and she goes crazy,
mm-hmm.
or if that's after all of this stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because that alone could be like a manifestation of itself.
Because throughout the movie, her visions and like her sickness is getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So like he left it open-ended as to not say like if that is after everything happened in this movie, she goes back to the mental institution, or if this was like after the mom died.
Yeah, because I took it as like after I finished the movie and found out like everything that had happened, I took it as like she went to the mental institution after the mother died because she was like, she had a mental episode or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was coming back. And then, but I don't know. Yeah, man, this movie is such a mind fuck. Like there's.
Because then there was something else at the end that the stepmom says, like when they're talking, she says that's, she's like, says something like, no wonder that's how we got our period at the same time. So that's where I thought that maybe this whole time Sue Mi was the stepmom that was hurting the daughter and stuff, because in that one scene, I think it's Sue Mi that gets her period.
Yeah.
And then she's stealing the Tampax from the stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stepmom says like laughs and is like, oh, we got our period at the same time. Like that's weird.
Yeah. And like the ghost that shows up too, like she, it's kind of implied. Well, it's not implied, but like she has blood coming down her leg.
Yeah.
Like as if it would be a period.
Yeah.
I'm just looking it up right now to see like.
And like before I was searching for this movie, I looked everywhere to see if I can find anywhere else. And on like YouTube, when I type in this movie,
mm-hmm.
there's like a ton of like what the ending means for this movie and like all of those videos. So I'm like, oh shit, this movie must have like a lot to unpack.
Mm-hmm. But because the stepmother was their mother's nurse.
Yeah, that's what I sick. Kind of figured.
Yeah, so what it says here, I'm on Screen Rant right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna ruin the twist anyways. So A Tale of Two Sisters eventually flashes back to the day that Su Yun died. As she discovered her mother's dead body hanging in a wardrobe, Su Yun frantically tried to free her, only to cause the wardrobe to crash in and crush her. Her stepmother mm-hmm. discovers but hesitates to help. She appears to have a change of heart but argues with an angry Su Mi, who is unaware of Su Yun's accident and ultimately decides to let her die. This is what led to Su Mi being institutionalized and why her father seemed so ill at ease in the earlier parts of the movie. Su Mi was acting as both her stepmother and sister in front of him. Okay. Okay.
Because yeah. I forgot that I wrote down to later my notes, because at the beginning of the movie, there's a clue, like when she's in the mental hospital,
mm-hmm.
there's a clue that she has dissociative personality disorder.
Yeah.
And I didn't catch that, but yeah, so now, like, thinking back, like, throughout the movie, it is portrayed that she is the stepmom, right?
Yeah, okay, holy fuck, that, yeah, that went right over my head.
Yeah.
See, this is, like I said, I need to watch this movie, like, three times
at because, least, like, throughout the movie, the dad keeps giving the pills to the stepmom, right?
Yeah.
And then at the end, you see Su Mi take the pills and, like, the jar fall over.
That's true, yeah. And it says here, the real Yun Ju, who is the stepmother, appears towards the end of the movie, and while she's still cold, she's not the evil archetype that Su Mi imagined her to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh. That's fucking crazy. Okay. Wow. I almost want to just watch this again tonight after we finish.
Yeah. Do you think that, so basically near the ending, the flashback is, they do the flashback of what happened. The stepmom or the nurse is like they're helping, and then you see the mom kill herself in the closet. Mm-hmm. All that happens, and then whenever she comes out, Su Mi is like angry with her because she's like, "What are you doing here? Dad's not even home," or something like that.
Yeah.
And then there's a line that she says, that the stepmom says, and I don't know if I wrote it down, it's like you're you're going to regret this day, or don't make yourself regret this moment, or something like that. Do you think that if Sumi acted differently during that one moment, that the nurse or stepmom would have told her or helped?
I think so. I think she was just kind of like, well, fuck you. Like, you want to act like this? Mm-hmm. Peace.
Yeah.
Your mom's dead. Your sister's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really awful thing, but
yeah, that was a heartbreaking moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And throughout the movie, there's little glimpses as to that Soo-yeon is dead. That caught me way off guard.
Mm-hmm,
like,
me too.
Blew my mind. But at one point you see that Soo-yeon's wrists were cut.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know if she did that, because it seems from the flashback you get, it seems like she's kind of really depressed and she's only like, I don't know, 12 years old, 13 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't know like how much depression like she has, or what it is, if maybe she cut herself, or maybe she has like the mother's mental illness, because honestly, she has her issues, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if, because like the way that the wardrobe falls, at the end of the movie, we see Soo-yeon kind of, like we see a close-up of her face and she's crying and calling out to Sumi. And then the last scene is like, I'm trying to get my hand on the camera here. Her hand's like this, and it just like kind of starts twitching. So I'm wondering if like she fell with her arms out and like the wardrobe landed on her like wrists.
Okay. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I'm not saying obviously that's not what killed her, but like if like once Sumi saw her, like if she noticed like if she had cuts on her arm or something like that, and that's kind of what she's manifesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I liked how at the end, whenever she's like walking away and then the stepmom or the nurse is like in the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then like as soon as Soo-yeon like dies, you can see like Sumi like stop and turn around, and she just had like this look on her face like she knew something bad happened.
Mm-hmm. But then just kept walking away.
Yeah. There's a couple other like hints too that I still didn't understand. I think it may, if I rewatch it, knowing that, you know, all this shit that we've been talking about. But whenever they first get there and Sumi goes into her room and they have like the two outfits,
mm-hmm.
and then she goes into the room and she yells at the stepmom, because she's like, or the stepmom is like, why were you in my room cleaning it, or something like that. And then Sumi is like, well, you're not supposed to be in my room, like I'll clean my own underwear or something like that. Yeah. So I don't know what that was all about, but
mm-hmm.
What'd you think of the father character? I fucking hated him.
I felt bad for him, because like he's lost his one daughter and his wife, and he's basically lost his other daughter due to the mental illness. So like I kind of feel bad for him. Like he's almost at his wit's end. He doesn't know how to react to this, like all the different things that are happening.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like he was almost non-existent in the house.
I think that's what pissed me off. Like all this shit was happening, and like obviously we learned later that like the stepmom wasn't really there. It was just Sumi visioning it.
Mm-hmm.
But like the whole movie, like none of this shit is happening. Or sorry, he's like nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just gone.
Yeah.
And like he won't sleep in the same bed. Like I guess I just picked up on that, because you know, he doesn't feel right sleeping in the bed with mm-hmm. like his wife, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So then what about the dinner scene?
That's a question I had.
I just thought of that, because like if the stepmom, like was she there maybe up to a point and then decided to leave? Maybe she like had enough shit.
I don't know. Like that whole dinner scene was very weird. And this whole like realization of that Sumi was the actual stepmother,
mm-hmm.
or that she was acting as a stepmother, like that just makes the scene even more weird, because like the stepmother is like telling this story of a time whenever her brother, who is there, was younger and whatever, playing in traffic or some shit like that. And the way that she's like laughing and giggling and telling the story, I was just like, what the fuck is going on right now?
But is that her brother? I know that the dad says that Sumi's uncle is coming.
Yeah, because, well, I thought that it was because she was talking about them being kids. Like, this story was from whenever they were kids.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then all of a sudden, his wife starts choking and, like, having a seizure or some shit. Like, I don't understand what was going on in that entire scene.
Okay, so if that scene, Sumi is, like, Sumi. Like, she's the child. She's whatever, 13 or however old she is. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, going on about the story and how she's, like, laughing really hard and telling the story about he was, like, naked. So maybe in this story, maybe she's, like, 2 or 3 years old. And, like, her uncle is, like, maybe, you know, 14 or 15 or whatever, teenager. And she's telling a story about how in the rain he would undress. And, like, he doesn't remember it. Maybe he was too young to remember it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's making it up. I don't know. But then, like, the part with the wife that just, like, loses it, I was like, maybe was she possessed during this scene? Like, because they try giving her pills, and, like, it seems like the dad and the uncle of the husband, like, know about her issues. I don't know.
Maybe in this scene, like, so that's why they're reacting so weird to the story, because, like, nobody's really kind of reacting to it or laughing or anything like that. They're all just kind of looking at the stepmother like she's crazy. So, like, do you think that it was Sumi telling that story?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, and that's why,
because they're all kind of looking at her like she's crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, by the end of it, we know that she is, because she has this disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a wild movie.
So if this is the brother to the stepmother, let's just say.
Yeah.
Where was I going? Oh, so do you think Sumi is creating this story of them? Like, she's telling the story as the stepmother.
Yeah.
But in, like, with that, she's also including the fact that they're brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
So she might just be telling a, like, story completely off the walls that never actually happened. She's just conjuring up this story.
Yeah.
Because the way that she does tell it, it's very childlike. Like, she's still, like, a young child.
Yeah. Like, she's laughing like crazy. She, you know, yeah, she can't hold herself together.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of questions.
This movie's fucked up, man.
Yeah.
I should have not picked it.
So who do you think is haunting them in this house? You think both the mother and Su-yeon?
And Su-yeon. Yeah. I think both of them.
Because I think in this scene, whenever the Mai-hee or whatever her name is like going crazy, she looks under the sink and she can see, it looks like a little girl. So I assume that was Su-yeon.
I think that's
Su-yeon. But she was like kind of like burnt and like rotten. So you couldn't really tell like who it was or what, how old they were kind of.
Mm-hmm. You think maybe it's just like, because I don't know, like her flesh rotting kind of thing, like as a ghost, like
maybe
like that's how she's coming back as.
Yeah, because those two were there that same day, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see them at the end of the movie in the flashback.
Yes. Yeah, like the father and the two of them were like just coming back from somewhere, like they pulled up in a car.
Maybe that maybe Mi-hee is the mother's sister, because like they say uncle, but I mean he could just be like an uncle by association, right?
Mm.
Like the mother could be the sister of the mother, so maybe she's taking these pills because she has kind of the same symptoms or issues that the mother had.
Maybe,
because I don't think it exactly says what the mother had wrong with her.
Yeah, I don't know. This movie is wild. Just looking at more shit, see if there's anything else that
at the end of the movie, whenever Sumi is fighting the stepmom.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was just like trying to kill herself, or she was just fighting with that other personality?
Well, now that I know what was actually going on, I could see it being that like she knows that she has the dissociative personality disorder. So maybe it is that. Like she's just she's like fighting this internal struggle to like get rid of that. Like she knows who she is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was actually an extended ending for this movie.
Oh, fuck.
And they took it out because it was like too sad or depressing. So in the end, Sumi ends up killing herself.
Okay.
She overdoses on like her pills that she's taking to be with her sister and mom.
I was going to ask if she drowned herself in that lake.
Because
at the start of the movie, her and Soo Young go to that lake and just like chill down there for a while.
Yeah. No, I think it was just like kind of a flashback showing like what was really happening, because you see her shoes there as well. But I read that there was a modern horror movie that was influenced by this. Can you take a shot unless you know the answer already?
Sixth Sense?
No.
Oh, okay.
Newer
movie. Newer than that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Jordan Peele was heavily influenced by this movie.
Okay. Yeah,
I can see that. When I saw that, I could see it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this movie is based on a... what is it? Space... Okay, I'm going to butcher this. It's based on a Jeonhwa Hongryeon Jun.
Holy fuck.
Kind of folktale.
Okay.
And there has actually been 6 movies made based on this tale, including this one. I didn't include it, but also a American remake of this movie called The Uninvited.
Oh, okay. I've watched that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because yeah, I swear I never, like, I've always seen the cover for that movie, but like I had no idea it was a remake.
Neither did I.
So I think I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I swear I've seen that. This movie, whenever it was released, I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm going to...
Well, yeah, because I read something as well. It's like the highest grossing Korean horror movie of all time.
Yeah, it was... When the film was originally released, it became both the highest grossing Korean horror film of all time and the first one to be screened in American cinemas. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like kind of the movie that opened the doors for other Korean films to come over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have the story of the original folktale.
Okay.
There's quite a bit. It's like broken into parts. Like there's introduction, conflict, resolution, conclusion. So read the introduction. If you have anything to say, just hop in. So once upon a time, there was a man named Mirion whose wife had a dream where an angel gave her a beautiful flower. 10 months later, she gave birth to a pretty baby girl who the couple named Jeonhwa. 2 years later, they had another pretty girl and named her Hongryeon. Unfortunately, the mother died when Hongryeon was 5 years old, and soon thereafter, the father remarried to continue his line. The new stepmother was both ugly and cruel. She hated her stepdaughters, but hid those feelings only to reveal them once she had 3 sons in a row, which gave her a good deal of power. And she abused the girls in every possible way. But Jeonhwa and Hongryeon never told their father about any of it.
Kind of sounds like Cinderella.
Yeah, a little bit.
And Jeonhwa and Hongryeon, however you pronounce it, that's actually the Korean title of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's like the conflict. I mean, it's very long, so I won't read it, but let's see. Yeah, it's a very long story. Maybe we'll post it on our Discord.
Okay.
People can read it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's neat though.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Just reading through my notes here to see. I felt like this movie held up really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like from being from 2003, like the way it was shot and the look of it and like the jump scares, like I thought it held up really well.
Mm-hmm. There's only one scene that like I found scary, but
yeah, like I wasn't overly scared, but it was creepy.
Yeah. It has that like Asian horror feel to it. Like whenever the ghost, like we first see the ghost, like that gave me like very strong Ring You vibes.
Yes. Yes.
Like just like the hair was falling down in front of her face. You can only see like half of her face because the other half is covered by her hair. And she's making like weird ass noises, like in The Grudge kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It just, you could definitely tell that the inspiration is there.
Yeah. And then throughout the movie, they're whistling this song what was it called? Tara Takum. And it's a spell to call mom.
So oh, really? I wonder,
like, yeah.
So if they whistle that tune, then the mother shows up.
Yeah.
But sue me, whenever the mother's ghost shows up, like, she's scared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I find now kind of weird. Like, if they're whistling this tune, maybe they don't have the intent of conjuring the mother.
Yeah.
So like whenever it does work, she's like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe that's why.
And then one last thing for me, like that ending scene, whenever she's, I don't know if it's, was it the stepmother, the sumi, that was like looking, went into the room because it was like broke the nails. It was like nailed shut, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the incident happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very cold. She's like freezing. And then you see like, there was something go up the curtain and then she like pulls it and there's like four picture frames, but they're all like white. So I don't know if this was like what that was. And then she like opens the closet and then she sees this little like thing come out the pillow and then she pulls it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some like crazy ghost comes out of it. There's like fucking Ghostbusters goop and stuff coming out. And like, do you think that was the daughter or the mom?
That was Soo Yun.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I read that in the Screen Rant thing that I just read earlier.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it was Soo Yun that pulls her in.
Cause it would make sense that Soo Yun would be the one that was haunting them because her death could have been prevented.
Yeah. So I think Soo Yun is like, is a malevolent spirit haunting them. Mm-hmm. Whereas the mother is only showing up maybe to offer like comfort for the daughters.
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't understand, like whenever we see the mother's ghost show up, like she's the one who has the blood running down her leg. And then like all of a sudden a fucking hand comes down through her dress and shit. Like, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the significance of all that is. I'm trying to like piece it together to see if I can figure it out, but I don't.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all I have for this movie. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you want to bring up that maybe we missed or?
I don't think so. I mean, you've already kind of blown my mind with this stuff because that some of that shit went way over my head. But in the future, I would like to somehow revisit this if we get a chance to rewatch it. Or like if we watch The Uninvited and are able to do like some sort of like compare and contrast between the two. Cause I'm sure the Uninvited is not going to be as good. They're going to butcher it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think this might be a good one maybe to maybe get two chicks on maybe.
Yeah, because they're very insightful with stuff like that.
Yeah, and they love these types of movies too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe down the road we should revisit this.
Yeah.
Like rewatch it a couple times.
Yeah.
See if we can get a bit of a better grasp on it. Because this is a very confusing movie. Like you texted me today and you were like, I can't remember exactly what you said, but I was laughing because I had the exact same thoughts. This movie is breaking my brain.
It literally did, yeah.
It's true. Like, not only is it like, it's not like there's so many different like metaphors and like twists and stuff that you don't expect. So that makes it confusing in itself. But then we have like all these different flashback scenes and we don't know what's real and what's not real. And like what's just been a manifestation and what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And there's scenes that make zero sense at all. Like with the aunt having a seizure.
I was just reading more scenes I wrote down. right before you find out that Suyeon is dead, like this, I was like so confused because the dad is in like the room with the bird cage and he sees like the thing down, he lifts it up and then sees one of the birds dead. And then was that Su-mi that was like hiding back there, or was that the stepmom?
I think it was Su-mi because we at one point we see Su-mi killing the bird.
Because yeah, she says earlier in the movie too, like I'm gonna kill. Let's kill the birds. And then this is a scene whenever I think the stepmom goes in and crushes the bird, and then she's like, you know, beating the shit out of her pretty much.
Yeah.
And then like this whole time when she locks her in the closet and like Su-yeon is like freaking out. I was just like thinking this whole time, I was like, where is everyone? But then it makes sense because Su-mi is just imagining the stepmom doing these things to her.
Yeah.
But I was like, where is the dad in all this? But like those two technically aren't even there. So the dad can't even, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very confusing movie.
Yeah. All right. I like your idea of revisiting this one. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if that's it, that's the way the period blood splatters.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. shit. Yeah. Okay. It's time to review this movie. Why don't you go first?
Sure. So I gave the story an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
I do truly believe that these scores could change after a couple of watches. So I said, a wonderfully written story and adaptation. Though this movie takes a while to pick up, the big twist really gets you engaged. It does get kind of confusing, especially in your first watch. So 8 out of 10. And quality, also gave it an 8 out of 10. I said, wonderfully acted and beautifully shot movie. I don't know why I typed acting as fantastic twice. I really like the score in this too. And like the way it was shot, I really liked. So yeah, 8 out of 10 for both.
Cool. For my story, I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
I said, I think after a couple of watches, this score could be much higher once I get a bit of a better understanding of what happens. It starts off very slow as we follow this stereotypical relationship between teen girls, a new stepmother, and a father trapped in the middle. But the story really kicks into high gear once we start being able to piece things together in the third act. I thought I had pieced things together. Apparently not. I said, Ji-Woon Kim is a master storyteller, and I wish we had more from him. Excuse me. This movie was much slower than I Saw the Devil, but it's still a story very much worth mentioning. And my quality, I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I said, there's something about Korean movies and their amazing scores. This is a big standout in this movie, as it has been in many of the Korean movies we've watched and or reviewed. The acting was pretty good for the most part, but there were some scenes where I was just like, what the fuck's going on right now?
Yeah.
Mainly when Su-mi has her random ass freakouts. Like when she just starts screaming out of the blue, it took me out of the scene.
Yeah.
Like there's different ways that you can portray that. And it was just, I don't know. And I did mention that I really enjoyed the cinematography as well. So yeah, 6 out of 10 and a 7 out of 10.
Very nice.
All right. You guys know our scores. Let's head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they've scored it. The critics' consensus. Restrained but disturbing, A Tale of Two Sisters is a creepily effective, if at times confusing, horror movie.
Yeah.
So what do you think the critics rated it?
I'm going to go with a 72%.
Oh, it's actually much higher.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The critics rated it a certified fresh 85%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
On 61 reviews and an average score of 7.1 out of 10.
Very nice.
The audience rating was an 83% on 25,000 ratings and an average score of 4 to 5 or 8 out of 10.
Very nice.
So it's a very well-received movie.
It is. Yeah. As for Letterboxd, It has a 3.7 out of 5. I rated it a 4.5. Probably could have just went a 4, but I don't know. I liked it. And you gave it a 3.5 out of 5. And the only other one worth mentioning is Anthony from Porcelain Peak gave it a 3.5 out of 5, the same as you. Mm-hmm. You guys both liked it.
Yeah.
Because there's a liking option on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I did like it, and I honestly do think, and even just going through this discussion, I've already bumped it up to probably like a 4. But yeah. I think on some rewatches, I think like this is a damn good movie. Like your 4.5, I wasn't surprised to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's some times where I'm just like, God damn, but this is, yeah, this is deserving of a high rating. Like I said, Ji-Woon Kim is a fucking master storyteller, even though this movie is very confusing.
I feel like sometimes the Western, or sorry, the Eastern movies
mm-hmm.
are like, some of them are so ahead of the times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they're so much more ahead of Hollywood
mm-hmm.
because like there's so many remakes that the yeah. Hollywood tries to do of these movies, whether it be you know, the French Extremities or these horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
That's very true. They have, I think I talked about it in our Train to Busan episode,
mm-hmm.
where like you, these movies, the way that they film these movies and the way that they're acted and stuff like that, like you could watch it even without subtitles and just kind of have like an idea of what's going on, like yeah. without even understanding the dialogue.
Yeah.
They just have like this certain directing style and storytelling style
mm-hmm.
that, like, I agree with you. Like they're way ahead of their time in a lot of these movies.
Yeah.
And yeah, think about how many super popular horror movies that came out here were mm-hmm. derived from like Japanese horror and from Korean horror.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, man. Ready for the scare rating? Scare section?
Yes, sir.
All right. What did you give for a scare rating?
So I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
It wasn't like overly gory, but I feel like the jump, not jump scares, it was like, it wasn't jump scares, it was just very slow scares, like with the mother or the person with the fucking hand out of their crotch or the person under the sink, like it's just very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And then scariest scene, I said the part with the lady in the room, like when she finds the period blood, like she just is like crawling and then like crawls up on the bed, and so it's very creepy. And would I survive? I said yes, but I may be physically scarred for life.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. But you?
My scare rating, I gave it a 3 out of 10. I said there's not a lot of horror visuals in the movie, but the ones that we do see are effective. And the story alone is enough to give it like more than a 1. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't find it like overly scary. It's more of like a psychological thriller in a sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, the scares are there. My scary scene is the same as yours, when Sumi sees the ghost above her bed. I think that was a scene that you were talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And would I survive? I said the only death in the movie that we see comes from a falling wardrobe, so I'll just stay away from them and I should be fine.
Yeah.
All right, man. Your time has come to pick the movie for next week.
I picked a movie and I just thought of another movie that I really wanted to do, but I'll save that for another episode. I was going to pick another Asian Korean movie, Old Boy.
Oh, dude.
Maybe we'll save that one for a couple months later, maybe.
All right.
I picked one that's on Shudder, and I got to say, like, we've complained about this before, but like Shudder's app on like TV or whatever is brutal. But like compared to like the phone on the app, like I just found like so many movies I didn't know was on there. Mm-hmm. So we are picking a movie called Straight Edge Kegger.
The fuck is that? What the fuck is that?
I'm going to read you the synopsis.
Yeah, lay it on me, man.
Okay.
Straight Edge Kegger?
Yeah. So after he thinks his straight edge friends have gone too far, young punk Brad decides to leave them behind when he meets happy-go-lucky partier Sean. He attends his first house party where he meets the beautiful Maybe, but all hell breaks loose. A group of masked intruders attacks the house full of drunks and stoners, making sure no one gets out alive. It's up to Brad, Sean, and Maybe to save the party in this blood-soaked thrill ride.
I feel like this is going to be terrible.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
It's good. It could be a very fun discussion, though.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. How did you find this?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Looking at movies on the Shudder app, and like there was a few I was gonna pick, but yeah. I saw this. It was like punk rock influences, and you know we mm-hmm. love our punk rock horror movies. So
yes, that is true. Wow. Okay, I was just looking through like screen caps of it. All right, cool. I can't say I'm excited, but I think it could definitely be a good discussion based off that synopsis.
Yeah, me too, man.
So. Oh fuck. All right, man. Cool. All right, that's the end of the episode. If you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram and Facebook. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch set up. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. There's also links to each of our individual Letterboxd accounts, our YouTube channel, mm-hmm. Our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us.
Yes, sir.
Brooke and I both now have been live streaming games on YouTube. I'm currently going through the Resident Evil Biohazard.
Yeah.
Game, and then I'm going to be transitioning that into Resident Evil Village, which will be a first time playthrough for me.
Yeah.
And you are currently playing through Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you're hopping on again this weekend.
Probably, yeah.
If you weren't planning on it, you fucking better start planning on it. But yeah, we're both having a lot of fun with this YouTube thing. It's become another thing for me to obsessively check 25,000 fucking times a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're slowly growing. It's not anything.
I mean, we're only like
2 weeks in.
A week and a half, 2 weeks in. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy with the progress we've made with it so far. Mm-hmm. And we're also posting the video versions of the podcast up there. So
yeah.
We've recently started recording all of our video. So yeah, those go up a couple days after the audio versions hit the podcast platforms.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're listening to this, please go and subscribe to our YouTube. It would mean a lot to us. And yeah.
Cool. Well, that's it. We will talk to you next week, guys.
See you later.